Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Type 1 diabetes, our focus this morning. We are going to talk about the 15th annual JDRF One Walk. It will occur April 29th at Dixon Park in Fredericksburg, and we are going to talk about type 1 diabetes and talk about the walk this morning. A couple of guests this morning. The Rayford family is here. Carrie and Lacey are here. Hi, good morning. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Lacey, it's great to have you here. Good morning. And also we have from Mary Washington Healthcare, the Diabetes Management Program, we welcome Laura Eubanks here this morning. Laura, hi there.
Hi.
Laura, I'll start off with you. Type 1 diabetes, we were just talking off the air just beforehand, and I've learned over the years, as Lisa Taylor has helped set up these programs over the years and talked to me about the walk, I've learned everything from her and from these kind of discussions. This is really a kind of diabetes that a lot of us, until you meet some families, may not know much about.
I would agree. I think most people that are diagnosed, really, they know very few people that may have had diabetes in their lives, maybe type 2. So it's a big learning curve for most people that are diagnosed.
I think, right, because I think you hear the word diabetes and you think certain things, and then you find out about what type 1 is all about, and it's diabetes, but it's quite a bit different.
There is a big difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes. So type 1 diabetes, it's usually diagnosed in childhood, and that's why you might hear it called juvenile diabetes or childhood diabetes. But we call it type 1 diabetes now because it really can be diagnosed at any age. And as a diabetes educator, I see plenty of adults that have been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So, you know, and they think, oh, that can't happen to me. That only happens when you're a kid. So it's actually an autoimmune disease. So the body attacks itself. So the body's going to attack the cells on the pancreas that make insulin. So that person no longer makes insulin and they have to take it for the rest of their life.
How does it get diagnosed, or what are some of the signs? Because this is where you always hear. It's always interesting to hear families talk about. And we'll have Carrie and Lacey tell their story in a second. But are there some basic signs that that you look for?
Yeah, and it's really important to know the signs and symptoms of type 1 diabetes. I'm the mom of a teenager with type 1 diabetes, and I know I've been in healthcare for 20 years, and I kind of miss some of the telltale signs because you kind of you can always say, oh, it's this or it's that. So one of the biggest ones is increased thirst. I'm sure Lacey, you can tell us all about this. If you remember, I don't know what age you were diagnosed, but increased thirst, urinating a lot more often. If kids are younger, they might be wetting the bed, tired, ravenous, you know, very, very hungry. And one of the big ones is weight loss, so unintentional weight loss.
Boy, and you said everyone misses that. Everybody who over the years has come in here has talked about, and especially the parents will talk about, just feeling guilty in a way that they missed some of these things. And usually the person, like, you know, the educator says it happens every time. It's not something you're always looking for.
I would agree. I'd say most people, you know, you can say, oh, I'm just really tired, or I'm thirsty, or I'm urinating more because I'm drinking more. And, you know, maybe I'm, you know, involved in sports or something, and that's why I have that increased thirst.
So, Carrie, what's your story? How did you discover and to talk about your journey here with Lacey?
So we actually realized it. I think initially took her into the doctor because we noticed significant weight loss. She had weighed about 50 pounds, and I know she looked a little bit thinner, but thought maybe that was just a growth spurt or something like that, because she's pretty tall. And and then finally, she had been about 50 pounds is where she'd been. And one day she stepped on the scale, just happened to step on the scale in front of me. I noticed she was 39. And I said, wow, my kids have never dropped weight like that. That's significant. And so that's when I took her in. Hindsight, there were a lot of other signs when I actually learned what all the symptoms were. We were on our way down to Disney World a week prior to that, and she had to stop every 30 minutes to go to the bathroom. And we were very frustrated in a 12-hour ride that we had to stop every 30 minutes. But hindsight, I was like, man, that was not her fault. She wasn't drinking too much.
But you never think. You just as a parent, you just don't think of something like this. This is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we also had experienced her being really whiny about going to school. And I thought maybe there was something wrong at school because it was, you know, December. It was right around nearing the end of the first semester of the year. And she would always whine every morning before going to school. And I thought maybe it was a school problem, but hindsight, her blood sugar was high and her stomach was hurting her. So it wasn't like an emotional or social issue. It was actually her stomach was hurting her.
So was Lacey, what, 4 or 5 when this all started happening?
She was 5 years old, almost 6. It was a month before she turned 6.
So, Lacey, do you remember any of this? Do you remember being thirsty or having to go to the bathroom a lot?
Yes.
And I guess the problem is when you're 5 or 6, Carrie, to talk to you about. I mean, it's hard. I mean, they have no idea, and you have no idea.
Oh yeah, she didn't know. She just knew her belly hurt, and she had to go to the bathroom a lot. So, but she wasn't. She also didn't necessarily communicate that with me all the time either.
Right. So how long did it? So you started taking her in. How long did it take the doctors to figure it out?
Oh, they found it the first day. So, they did a full blood workup on her. They weren't sure that that was it, but they did a full blood workup. And then when it came back that her blood sugar was high, they called us. They called us that night, actually. We had a very nice doctor that called us at like 10 p.m. and said, hey, I think this is what it is, but we need you to come in tomorrow. And blocked out his whole lunch break to talk to us about it. And we got retested, and they checked her urine for ketones and found out that she was diagnosed and went down to VCU that day.
Did you know anything about this beforehand? I mean, if someone had said to you type 1 diabetes, so you sometimes with these things you'll know. I remember somebody in school, or I had a neighbor who had that, or had you ever heard of it?
I had a neighbor growing up, but I had no clue what it was really because I was a child.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was an excuse for him to try to get brownies, like, and candy from people. He'd be like, I need, and I was like, yeah, right. So that's about the extent of my knowledge. I knew that it had something to do with blood sugar and that people needed snacks more often, but that's about all that I knew about it prior to her being diagnosed.
Laura, when doctors are looking at this, because I've heard different stories of where sometimes it takes a little bit longer, and when a person goes in with some of the symptoms now, is that something doctors do look for?
If they check their urine, they're going to see a lot of glucose in the urine. So they're going to pick up on that pretty quickly. I've definitely heard stories where parents have brought kids in and, you know, didn't necessarily catch it right away. You know, they just, oh, it's the flu, or, you know, some sort of viral illness. But yeah, if blood sugars are high enough, they're going to be spilling glucose into the urine and they'll catch it. Yeah, so I think it's, yeah, hopefully it's caught sooner.
Now, you mentioned that you went through the same as you're with your son.
That's right.
And
yeah.
So, what was your story similar to theirs?
It was. He was about he was 7, you know. And I look back and I think, Laura, what were you thinking? You know, I look back at the pictures of him and he just looks gaunt. He had lost weight, going to the bathroom all the time. I'll never forget that how much he was, the panic in his eyes when he was eating and drinking. So, you know, I knew something was wrong. So we brought him in and, yeah, they found it right away.
We are talking type 1 diabetes this morning. And the tie-in is the 15th annual JDRF One Walk is April 29th at Dixon Park in Fredericksburg. More on that. And we'll continue to talk about type 1 diabetes this morning. Carrie and Lacey are here. Laura Eubanks is here, the educator with Mary Washington Healthcare's Diabetes Management Program. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Type 1 diabetes, our focus this morning with Carrie and Lacey here along with Laura Eubanks from Mary Washington Hospitals. We talk about type 1 diabetes. It's been just Laura, in the past few years, I think, that because I can remember it was in number of years ago doing this program, and we always refer to it as juvenile diabetes, and you mentioned that it has changed now that everything that I've seen and you hear talked about it, it's type 1, and I guess because it's not just kids.
That's right. Can be diagnosed at any age. I've seen a lot of adults diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
So Carrie and Lacey, and in your case, you're diagnosed. How does life change?
Well, I think in the beginning, you don't know what you don't know. And I think for some people, there's a huge learning curve. And I think you realize that as time goes on, you realize all the things you have to know. You have to know how to count carbohydrates. You have to know what a carbohydrate is, how many grams are in all of the food that you eat. You have to learn how to give yourself injections, or eventually you might start on an insulin pump. You have to learn all the different things that might affect your blood sugar. So it's not just the food that you eat. It's activity. It's stress. It's how much sleep you had the night before. So many different things can impact your blood sugar. So kind of learning how to manage that.
So, Carrie, how did it change? How did life change for you and Lacey and your whole family? Because it's everybody.
Yeah, it changed tremendously. It takes a lot of time. I would say the first couple weeks especially, we're just learning about what this was and trying to make sure that we kept our daughter safe and alive, essentially.
Yeah.
Learning how to adjust. And I knew nothing about how to do insulin, like how to give shots, where to give the shots, you know, and then just the time that it takes extra every morning, checking blood sugars multiple times a day, getting adjusted all the, she eventually ended up getting the Dexcom, which is a continuous glucose monitor, and an insulin pump, which has made life a lot easier.
On the shots, how often do you have to do those? Are those, is that every day?
So she is not on shots anymore. She's now on the insulin pump.
Okay.
But initially, yes, she had to do shots. It was every time she ate, she'd have to do a shot of insulin.
And then you mentioned the monitor. Is that, and she showed me the monitor. I see she just sneezed. So do you want to take care of her and I'll talk to Laura for a second? This happens sometimes. When you talk about life changing, Laura, and just as Carrie described all the different things, to keep up with all that, and all of a sudden you're learning new terms, you're learning all kinds of things.
That's right, and I think the dynamic in the family can really change too. From what Carrie's saying, you know, they have other children, and the time that it takes that you're focused on, you know, one of your children, and it really changes everything in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just I know just to keep up with the terminology, mm-hmm. and having dealt not with diabetes but with some other things, the stress level and just trying to get into the new normal is a tough thing sometimes.
Right, and I think parents, we become medical professionals just from being parents. It's pretty amazing what parents know and what the kids know. I know that with we have a camp every year through Mary Washington Healthcare, the Kids for a Cure Club day camp, and we have volunteers, and Germana nursing students have recently started volunteering, and I'll never forget some of their comments. I mean, they just leave blown away by what these kids can do. It's pretty amazing. They watch these kids give themselves injections, work their insulin pumps, count their carbs, check their blood sugar multiple times, and they're just amazed. So I think the kids and the parents become medical professionals themselves.
Is that what's happened with Lacey, Carrie?
Oh, yeah. She's doing pretty good. She knows how to weigh out, like, we'll weigh her fruit when we cut it up, and she knows. I mean, she's learned. She's in first grade, and she's learning multiplication, how to multiply the carbs by the by the number of ounces of fruit that it is, so that she can figure out how many carbs is in that. So,
when she's at school, is she monitoring things? And I mean, I guess you talk to teachers, and you really have to have everybody kind of. She's watching herself, but others too.
Yeah, her they have a school nurse, and the school nurse, she goes up to the school nurse every time that she has a snack or has food or has a high or a low blood sugar. And so they assist her, but yeah, her teachers have had to learn a little bit about it too, because they need to know what the signs are of her being high or low and when she needs medical attention. So that has been interesting as well, because everyone around that is dealing with caring for her has to learn about type 1 diabetes in order to be able to really take care of her.
Yeah. Yeah. So now the monitor, does it have alarms or things that go off to tell her if things are getting too low, or to tell you?
Yeah. So she has a monitor that she wears on her body all the time. It's wireless. It just is a little battery. It's about the size of a battery. And it transmits to her phone. So it will take her BG every 5 minutes. So it gives us a continual monitoring of it. And then you can set your parameters of how when you want it to alert you. So if she's high or if she's low, we get alerts to our phones, as well as she has to have a phone to receive that.
I was wondering, so you're always monitoring it too, or you're watching it?
Yeah, I can monitor it when she's at school. I can see what her levels are, and even text her teacher and say, hey, she's headed down, you might want to give her a snack before she reaches a low. Because her, you know, sometimes the teachers, she's teaching the class, she's not sitting there watching her level necessarily.
Boy, it really though is something. I mean, I'm sure you've gotten into the routine now of always watching it, or knowing certain times are there certain times of the day that you especially kind of watch it.
Yeah, she definitely has certain patterns, but I watch it all day. I use it probably more than any app on my phone, including social media apps. So it's something that we're looking at constantly in order to see where she's at and try to prevent having highs or lows.
What the technology end of this, Laura? I mean, is I guess a lot different than when you were doing it, dealing with it with your son.
Well, I think we were at the beginning of the continuous glucose monitors really getting better. So we've really seen it get better and better. And I just want to mention there's no cure for type 1 diabetes, and we have all these devices that certainly make it a lot easier. So I'm thankful for all of these things, but I would like to see it where these kids didn't have to wear all of these devices, you know, in order to make it work. But I'm really thankful that we have them.
Well, and that's – oh, go ahead. Would you say something?
I was just going to say I agree with that. Mm-hmm. It's nice that we have it, but a cure would obviously be a best case scenario.
Do you ever get a good night's sleep, Carrie?
Yes, we do definitely. It's like having a newborn. Well, not really. It's a little bit easier because you don't wake up every night. But if she has low glucose, I will have to wake her up in the middle of the night and try to give her sugar in order to get her back up and make adjustments. So,
I think that's where the continuous glucose monitors have really helped parents sleep a little bit better, because it will alarm you if she's headed down or low, so you can sleep and think, okay, right, she's okay.
That's true. When we first started, we actually had to wake up in the middle of the night and check her, because there's a certain time of the night that typically your blood sugar goes a little bit lower, and so we were having to wake up every night, set our alarms at I think it was 2 a.m. I can't remember, and check her blood sugar, make sure she was okay, and adjust if necessary. So
Well, and you talk, Laura, about you both about, you know, the technology is great, but it'd be great if they don't. And that's why the walk is so important, and the raising money for JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, is so important. That something like this is raising money to try to, hopefully we don't have to have these conversations someday. You
That's
sure
right.
would hope mm-hmm. so, but it is interesting to just to see the technology, and really to have you two together here to be able to talk about, you know, how you've seen things change over the years. Are there things that Lacey has that your son didn't have at the, you know, or is it all pretty much still the same?
We didn't have the continuous glucose monitor in the beginning. But he had the same pump there that Lacey's wearing. Yeah, he's had that pump. So, I think in the very beginning, a lot of people don't go on the, or years ago didn't go on the pumps and the continuous glucose monitors right away. But I think people are moving quicker onto those mm-hmm. things because they find it easier to manage.
I've noticed changes in it since she got it a year, not even a year and a half ago. Since she's been diagnosed, FDA has approved not having to calibrate it, meaning check a blood sugar and compare it to the continuous glucose monitor, mm-hmm. Only having to do it twice a day. It used to be that every time you ate, you had to compare it. And there's even another one coming. The newest update is you shouldn't, the FDA just approved, I think, a week or two ago that Dexcom will not have to calibrate anymore, so they won't have to actually prick and check blood sugars, which is huge.
It's amazing.
Wow,
I'm so excited
yeah.
for that.
Mm-hmm. Because, boy, that's got to be the tougher to do that so as often as you have to do
mm-hmm.
that.
Yep.
Hmm. 15th annual JDRF One Walk is in Fredericksburg, April 29th. April 29th at Dixon Park. The check-in at 11:30. It starts at 12:30, and there is a 5K walk around the park. Laura Eubanks from Mary Washington Hospital here this morning. Carrie and Lacey Rayford here to talk about it all. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:30.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Type 1 diabetes, our focus this morning, and the 15th annual JDRF One Walk, April 29th at Dixon Park in Fredericksburg. Carrie and Lacey Rayford here this morning. Laura Eubanks is here. She's an educator with Mary Washington Healthcare, the Diabetes Management Program. So, Laura, when a person is diagnosed, how we've talked about the monitoring and watching of everything. What else changes? Does the kind of foods a person eats, does that change with type 1 diabetes?
It can, depending on what the person was eating before they were diagnosed. It might. The focus really is, like I was saying, knowing which foods are sources of carbohydrate and being able to count those grams and then take enough insulin to cover those carbohydrates. So I'm sure, Lacey, you might hear, you know, friends or family members say, oh, you can't eat that or you shouldn't eat that. You might hear that a lot. But, you know, really, kids with and adults with type 1 diabetes can eat a variety of foods. It's important for everybody to eat a healthy diet. So it's important for, you know, people with diabetes to eat a healthy diet, too. But they can certainly eat what they want also. So, yeah, it's not as limiting as one might think.
Is that one of the changes? Because type 2 diabetes, there is more of a diet on that, isn't there, or not?
Well, like I said, it's good healthy eating for anybody. With any type of diabetes.
Okay.
Yeah, but what you eat can, type 2 diabetes can make a huge difference, yes. Yeah.
Have there been any big changes for you guys, Carrie, or is it just more of just you just watch the carbs and watch what you eat?
Yeah, we watch the carbs for sure. Sometimes if she does have higher blood sugar, we will try to limit the number of carbs. So she'll eat a salad and grilled chicken instead of having a sandwich, which is bread, carbohydrates. So we've adjusted some things, but she was generally a healthy eater before this, so it wasn't a huge adjustment for us.
And you can't just walk by a table and grab something and eat whatever you want, whenever you want. You have to put more thought into everything you do,
yes.
Everything you put in your mouth.
Boy, and for kids, that's consumptive. And especially, I mean, if she's around her friends or things like that, too, I guess you have to drill that in of that you can't do that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that was actually probably the hardest adjustment for us as a family, because at the time we had a 1-year-old, I guess no, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and she was 5 and She had a six-year-old brother. So it was an adjustment to say, okay, we can't eat the Halloween candy. You can't just go to town on the Halloween candy. We've got to actually monitor it. We're going to save it, ration it out. And so adjusting that for the other kids as well so that it wasn't, they can all eat whatever they want and she has to just eat one piece, you know?
Yeah. Well, in the way, when you described what she does, you know, what she does at school, or, you know, how she figures everything out, without a doubt, all the kids who come through here, it just amazes me of mm-hmm. how, what they know and what they have to do and just how they, you just think of how they have to communicate with adults and with doctors all the time to be able to talk about this kind of stuff.
That's true.
Even though we haven't heard much from Lacey this morning, I do know that she knows a lot. And do you want to say anything? That's okay. Mom's doing a great job. So we're just glad to have you here and be able to talk about all that you've gone through. Now, Laura, you talked about a camp.
Right.
Talk about that.
We have a Kids for a Cure Club that helps support families with children with type 1 diabetes. And we have events throughout the year. You're talking about Halloween and, you know, it's so candy focused. So we'll have events at maybe Valentine's Day or Halloween where they're not food focused. We will have snacks, but we'll list the carbs on those snacks mm-hmm. And have fun get togethers. The highlight of our Kids for a Cure Club is the day camp that we have every summer. This year, it's going to be June 18th through 21st, and we have space for 20 campers, age 7 to 11. Kids that are 12 and 13 are actually, I'm sorry, 13 and 14 are going to be junior counselors, and then the older kids are counselors. So everybody has type 1 diabetes. We spend the week together. Our focus is to help increase their knowledge and skills of diabetes self-management in a really fun environment. We go to the pool every year, the Fredericksburg Country Club. We swim all day, and we have lots of events. It's great. We have generous sponsors, Mary Washington Healthcare, the A Quiet Evening Lions Club, Fredericksburg Lions Club. They've, we couldn't do it without them.
So if someone wants to find out more about this and sign up, what do they do?
You would want to go to our website, diabetes.mwhc.com, and you can find the application online there and more information about our Kids for a Cure Club and the day camp.
Give that with the web address again.
Diabetes.mwhc.com.
Okay, diabetes.mwhc.com. So this has been going on for a few years?
This is our 12th year.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's we're all nurses, dietitians, diabetes educators that run the camp, so parents feel confident that they can drop their kids off and they're going to be safe. Yeah, it might be the first time that parents have dropped their kids off somewhere and felt comfortable with that. Or maybe at all. So,
boy, I would think the number of kids. I mean, do you know a lot of people carrying this area now that you've become part of this group? Do you know of others who are also dealing with this?
We actually only know of one other girl.
Okay.
When she was diagnosed, there was a teacher that had a daughter that was at the school, and they helped us out and gave us some information and linked us in.
And that's what's great about the walk and the camp. You're surrounded by others with type 1 diabetes. You know, all these people are going through the same thing.
Yeah, Lacey is looking forward. She's going to attend the camp this year, and she's excited about it because she doesn't interact with a whole lot of people that have type 1. You excited about it, Lace?
She's nodding yes. So, yes, she is. And I guess, but Lauren, like in your case, with your son older now, I guess mm-hmm. once you're a mom with a child with type 1 diabetes, you're always a mom with type 1 diabetes. And you may not have to monitor it as closely. You figure as he gets older, he's doing that. But I'm sure you still do.
Exactly. We're going through that transition period of the continuous glucose monitor. Yeah, it's on my phone, but I'm trying not to look at it as often as I used to. And really only text him when I feel like it's, you know, a real emergency. Otherwise, I'm trying to back off and let him take over more of the self-care. He's doing a great job. So that's it. It's a tough time being a teenager new challenges for sure. So
because if they do let it get, I mean, if they do let it get too low, that can be real. That can be terrifying.
Oh yeah, I mean it's. You can die from a low blood sugar. Yeah, so yeah. It is. It's scary.
Boy, but for the mom and me to be able to see it going down, I'm sure, at
right,
times
right,
and thinking,
right?
Come on, do something.
Mm-hmm. You watch it and you're thinking, okay, I'm waiting for it to come back up. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So is that how, if you're, Carrie, if you're watching it, if it's getting low, then if she eats something that she needs to, does it immediately start? Do you see a change in it right away?
I think it just depends on the – it's different every single time. It's
okay.
Not very predictable. So sometimes we can correct it, give her a couple goldfish, and it will come up and never hit a low. Other times you can't control it, and you've given her sugar after sugar after sugar, given her three juice boxes, and it's still low. So it just depends on the situation.
Just like you say, I mean, I guess you just go from meal to meal or time of day to time of day every day. And,
yes.
And that's, I guess, the thing about this. Once you got it, Laura, it's something that's got to be watched by the person, and especially if you're dealing with kids all the time, mm-hmm. by another family member.
And it's interesting working with adults who might wear the sensor, and then they might have what they're talking about is you can the sensor sends the signal. You know, you get the blood sugar on your phone and somebody can follow that. They can get the app to follow your blood sugar. So we follow our children's blood sugars. But I see a lot of adults who might have a significant other that follows their blood sugars. But that fine line of, do I want them to look at my blood sugar all day? You know, helping these couples and families find what works for them. You know, you'd... So it's really interesting.
Is that what you do as far as an educator and all? Do you go around and you talk to the community or you talk to individual people?
At the Diabetes Self-Management Education and Support Program, people come in to see us. I think what we do, we see everyone as an individual and finding what they need to help make their diabetes more manageable for them, to help it fit in their life better. So really finding what works for them, and not one thing is right for everyone. So that's our job, finding how we can help them work together to make it easier.
Well, thank you for what you do. I mean, you play, I would think, a key role in a lot of people's lives when a family all of a sudden is confronted with this. It's nice to have kind of you have just a calmness about you, I think, that you would be able to explain and just let people know what's ahead of them, and especially since you've dealt with it and are dealing with it.
Yeah, I love my job. Thank you for saying that. Love it. And I truly feel like I can make a difference in people's lives, and it feels so good. It's great.
Just because you know. Because other people, if I'm talking to you and you have no idea, and you don't, but you've been there. Mm-hmm. And you're able to,
but I certainly don't assume I know everything. Everybody is so different, so I can't assume that my situation is going to be the same for anybody else. So I always keep that in mind too, that everyone's different.
The walk again is on April the 29th. It is at Dixon Park, and like you and Carrie, like you said, with the camp and with the walk, all of a sudden everything is geared to everyone with juvenile or who's got type 1 diabetes, and if you're not around a lot of people like that, I guess it's an encouragement to be in that kind of setting, to know other people are going through what you're going through.
Yes, for sure. She's been waiting for a year to do this.
Now the camp you said is Laura said it's a week long.
It's Monday through Thursday, June 18th through 21st.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And just go to diabetes.mwhc.com for all the details. And I guess if you're interested in doing it, you ought to sign up because there's only so many spaces.
Right. There's limited spaces, right.
You involved in the camp at all as a counselor or an overseer?
I've worked it, the last 2 years I've been involved. And the years before, my coworkers were kind enough to let me send my son and have me not be there hanging over him. So they said, you don't work the camp. You see participants in the office. And that's what I did. And now that he's older and a counselor, he was a junior counselor the last couple of years, it's been okay for me to be there. Mm-hmm.
Juvenile diabetes, or type 1 diabetes, is our focus this morning. If you want to find out more about the walk, if you just type in JDRF one walk Fredericksburg, it'll take you right to the page that has all the information. The 15th annual JDRF one walk in Fredericksburg is the 29th, April 29th, at Dixon Park. Check in at 11:30. The walk starts at 12:30. It is a 5K. We'll wrap it up with Laura Eubanks and Carrie and Lacey Rayford on Town Talk this morning when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking type 1 diabetes this morning and the 15th annual JDRF One Walk, April 29th, Dixon Park in Fredericksburg. If you want to get more information on the walk in Fredericksburg, 540-287-9471. 540-287-9471 is the number to get more information on the JDRF One Walk, April 29th at Dixon Park. Carrie and Lacey Rayford here, Laura Eubanks here. She's an educator with Mary Washington Healthcare and the Diabetes Management Program. I guess, Carrie, from you, the word has been that it's there's hope. With the technology and with the research that's going on, and the more people that get involved in the walk and provide funds for the walk, the more research can be done, and the more people like kids like Lacey and others who are adults who have type 1 diabetes are helped.
Yes, yeah, we're hoping for a cure with the continued research.
Boy, that is. I mean, you think of how far you've come, and just the technology. That she's able, just even with just being able to having seeing her with a cell phone is great, but to know that she's using it for, I mean, she uses it to monitor things.
Yes,
I'm sure a lot of kids in her class they'll look at her with a cell phone and just think, I want to be like Lacey. Lacey's mom lets her have a cell phone. Laura, you've talked about the need for diet. I guess the one thing is again to talk about some of the symptoms. Just if you run into some of these symptoms, don't
delay. Go see your doctor right away. That's right.
And it was thirsty, going to the bathroom, loss of weight, those kind of things.
Weight loss, being very thirsty, urinating more often, being very hungry, tired. Some people have blurry vision. If it progresses to nausea, vomiting, that's when it's very serious. Get to the doctor right away.
And the stories that you've both told that they were with those symptoms were able to figure it out in both of your cases pretty quickly. That was the issue.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. How difficult was it to talk to Lacey about it and try to make her understand what she had to do and. Because in that case, for a, you know, when you're 5 years old and
It's expedited her having to be mature in terms of handling things and learning things. But the first day, I'd say, was really rough. She did not like shots at all. She was deathly afraid of them at 5 years old, and to be held down essentially to be getting blood sugars and be taking all of these tests, and then to find out that for the rest of your life you're going to have multiple pricks a day was a hard thing, I'd say. But she adjusted quickly. You
know,
kids are resilient, and she adjusted within the first week, probably.
Yeah, I would say that's the hardest moment when when you have to tell them this is the new reality. This is the way it has to be.
And we talk about kids being diagnosed. Laura, can a person develop type 1 at any age?
At any age. It's more common in childhood, but you can develop type 1 diabetes at any age.
Mm-hmm. Do they know why type 1 develops?
We really don't know. We know that it's genetic. We don't know what triggers it or turns it on. We just don't know. It could be environmental. It could be, some people have talked. There's some research about the virus. But we just don't know.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of you, I mean, you're here with the diabetes management program with Mary Washington Healthcare. Lots of things available here, it sounds like, in this area that you and others are able to provide for for families and people in this area there who are dealing with type 1?
Mm-hmm, there is a lot of support out there. And if you go to that diabetes.mwhc.com, you can check out our diabetes self-management education and support program. You can see all the services that we offer. We see anybody with any type of diabetes. Most insurance plans will cover it. We're recognized by the American Diabetes Association. It's a great program.
I was going to say, boy, it's great to have these kind of programs and this kind of information available. You hope you never need it, but when you do, you're sure glad that it's something that's right here in the community.
That's right.
Have you been doing this a long time?
I've been a dietitian for 20 years and a diabetes educator for the last 6 years.
Did you get involved as a diabetes educator just because of what you had learned with your son?
I always enjoyed diabetes education in the hospital where I worked for a long time, meeting with people and talking about their meal plan, but certainly was inspired by my son being diagnosed with diabetes.
And he's doing well?
Doing well. Doing very well.
And it sounds like he's learning to monitor himself now without mom having to look so much.
That's right. I think it's so important to have support at any age through your life. So we're there to support him and help him whenever he needs it. So it's really important.
And Carrie, we've talked in your case with you, but I'm sure, do your other kids and your husband are, I'm sure, always keeping an eye on Lacey and in monitoring those certain times?
Yes. Her older brother definitely knows, like he'll say, oh, I think you're high, or check this, and he knows what levels are high and low, and the younger kids just know that she has
diabetes.
They call it diabetes.
Well, thank you both for coming and sharing your story, because I know there's other people out there who are dealing with this or going to deal with it, and thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
And Laura, thank you for what you do. And again, the camp is this summer. The website again, real quick, is
diabetes.mwhc.com.
Check out for that the June camp and sign up for that. The 15th annual JDRF One Walk, Dixon Park, April 29th, 540-287-9471. Carrie and Lacey Rayford, Laura Eubanks, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.